Well, somebody knew. That was just sort of good afternoon, good evening. So good afternoon, good evening. It's good to be with you, and I must just say, while I have the opportunity, it's been great to be with you folks over the last month. Of course, I've spent a lot of time with my daughter and family, Rachel and Leonard and the children. It's been lots of fun, kind of tiring at times watching these kids tearing all over the place, but it's been good. Sometimes people have asked me, how did you ever get to the mission field? How did you get up to Zambia? And I thought I would just begin with just a very brief summary of how the Lord led me to Zambia. I grew up in a Christian home and in Toronto, and we always had missionaries visiting our home. I remember a doctor from Zambia once visiting our home. And it was just in my way back in my youth, my very young age, I remember him being visiting in our home and others too. And then when I was just finishing high school, I went down for a World Mission Congress down at Wheaton College near Chicago. And George Verber was one of the main speakers there. Now, he's a real missions man, as you know, with OM. And he really challenged us to really think about your life and about your responsibility to reach out to others. But I had to come to grips with my own personal faith before I could do that. And I remember one night, I was just sharing this afternoon with some folks, and one evening I was in the dorm just by myself on my knees, just struggling with the question, why do I believe what I believe? Because if you don't really understand that, then you may face problems when you face opposition. And it came to the point that I believed that not just because I was taught by my parents, and they did teach me the gospel, or that I was taught in Sunday school, or I've been to many, many gospel services over the years, but that I believed it because I believed it for myself, especially on the whole view of creation. I knew there had to be a God, there had to be a creator, and Jesus Christ was a real historical figure, and that I had put my faith in him myself. That was important because right after that, I entered into university, and I was challenged very much. I took a science course in biology, and I was just sharing with one of the brethren here this afternoon how that one of my professors one day saw me in the hallway and spoke to me. He said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I remember because he was just a short little fellow, about this high. Dr. Poynting, his name was. And he said, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, yes. I was involved in the Christian activities on the university campus in Arundel College, University of Toronto. And he said, well, by the time you finish this course, it was a course in biology, a course teaching evolution, basically. By the time you finish this course, you will give up your faith in God, and you'll be like us. He said, last year we had a Watchtower fellow Jehovah's Witness, and when he finished, he had completely given up his faith in God. And you'll be just like that. Well, that was a challenge. And as I went through that course, they were showing us all different things about animal structures and the function of each form and function or structure. And in my mind, that was always design, design, design. And you know very well, if you have design, there must be a designer. And so at the end of that course, my belief in creation was even greater than 100%, if you could call it that. And my belief in evolution was less than 0%. So what he said didn't happen. Now, of course, I thank the Lord for that. And I know that my dad did give me a lot of good resources before I went into that university. And graduated in 72, that's a few years ago now. And I had applied to go into medicine, but didn't have quite enough marks, good enough marks in organic chemistry. I did pass it, but not good enough for medicine. But I got into chiropractic. Not that chiropractic is not as good as a doctor, but they happened to agree to receive me in. But at the same time, there was a visiting missionary from Zambia, Les Rainey. Some of you may know that name, that person. And he came to Toronto to give a short report on the work in Zambia. And he said this, he said, the president, his name was Dr. Kenneth David Kaunda, he said, he has asked me personally, he was good friend with the president, to when I came to Canada and to U.S. to call for young people to come to Zambia to teach the Bible in the Zambian public schools, government schools. And I thought, what an opportunity. Because at that time, even then, certainly in Ontario, they didn't want the Bible in the school, and certainly even more so now. And I thought, what an opportunity. So I decided to put my chiropractic training on hold, and I applied to go out under a Zambian government project where they would pay you to go out there and teach the Bible. Imagine a foreign government paying you to teach the Bible. And also I could teach maybe a bit of biology at the same time, which was one of my favorite subjects. But that application kind of got lost, and that often happens in that kind of situation, that those kind of countries, their offices aren't the best regulated. And it was sent to New York to the embassy there, and I heard nothing for months and months. And I happened to have a sister in Zambia who was teaching at the university there, and she said, now there's another way you can come out, that is as a volunteer missionary, and you could try that way. Talk to your church assembly elders and see if they agree to commend you for maybe 2 years or so. And so that's what I did. I talked to the elders and they agreed that they would commend me for 2 years to go out and teach the Bible in one of the schools in Zambia. At the same time, there was a nurse just back from Zambia. Her name was Joan McCready. And she said, you know, Don, there's a missionary from northwestern province of Zambia, and he's on furlough just now, on leave, and it would be great if you could go out and fill in for his teaching while he's out. And I thought, well, okay, there's an opportunity, there's a start. So I contacted that particular missionary, Mr. Paul Grieve, and he said, yeah, that would be great. So he was back in Northern Ireland, so I went from Toronto to Belfast and then stayed with him a couple of days to get the idea of what the teaching was all about, and then I headed for Zambia. I was only 23 years old. I don't know you folks, you young folks, how old you are, but maybe some of you are that kind of that age. And just finished university, looking for something to use my life for, and that's where I went. And I think that if I hadn't have gone out at that age, I probably never would have gone. You know, once you stay back and you get into your employment and get married and so on, it's more difficult to pull up and go. So that's what I did. And once I got out there and started teaching, I really felt it was a tremendous opportunity. Here I was teaching young people in a government school, teaching the Bible on a regular basis, for which they wrote a regular exam, just like math or chemistry or whatever subject, biology. They also wrote an exam on Bible knowledge. Over the years, that has changed slightly. The government decided they wanted to be more Zambianized, so we wrote a Zambian syllabus. Originally, it was a British syllabus. So we wrote up an evangelical education curriculum or syllabus for the schools. I had part of that work. I was involved in part of that making of that curriculum. But it's an evangelical-based Bible syllabus based on the life of Christ, mainly from Luke and Acts, and also some related application. We do the content of the Bible, the meaning of it, how you apply it to your life, and then how does that compare with other religions like Islam, Hinduism, and the indigenous Zambian religions. And so that's what I've been teaching for the last 40 or so years out in Zambia. Now you say, well, what happened to the 2 years? Because I was going out for 2 years. Well, after 2 years, I really felt led to stay on. And I said, well, although I've really thought about going to chiropractic, it would have been nice, you know, good job, nice income, maybe a nice house, big swimming pool, whatever, you know. But I thought, no, I think I should stay here. At the same time, I'd also met the woman who became my wife. She had come from New Zealand. We really felt God calling us together, and we were engaged. And at the same time, I was waiting for word from home whether the elders were can be agreeable to consider me for full-time ministry out in Zambia. Well, the Lord worked everything out together. After coming back from getting engaged to the one who became my wife, that is Elva Peary, she was at that point, I got a letter from home saying, we now commended you full time to the work in Zambia. So that's how I got there. And by the way, after I'd been there only a year or less, my mother sent me a letter saying that I had received at home, that is, a letter from the Zambian government saying that I had been approved to teach in Zambia. But of course, I was already there. If I'd gone that way, they would have told me where to go and where to stay, but now I was free to go where the Lord took me, where the Lord told me to go. So I stayed in the same place for those 40 or so years, and I haven't quite left there yet. As many of you know, my wife and I came back just last year in November. She was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and the Lord took her home in May. And I'd just like to share with you a bit about the work out there, and challenge especially some of the younger folks here, and the older ones too. Over the years, we've had all different ages coming out to Zambia. At one point, when my wife and I were on leave for about 3 years, when our children were in college in North Bay, Ontario, we had an older couple come out and replace us for those 3 years. And we're looking for young folks and older folks all the time. So let's have a look at a few pictures here. And from here, I'm heading back to Ontario, and then heading up to Inglehart, Ontario, where Peter Kerr is with the Emmaus work. I'll be up there for several weeks, I think, and then down to Tampa for Christmas, and then back to Ontario in January. Lord willing, in May, I'm taking back to Zambia two of my grandchildren, two of Rachel's children, the two oldest, plus her husband. I'm leaving her back in Ontario. She'll be visiting Ontario with the other 9 children. She will have some help, and we're going out with the 2 grandsons and my son-in-law, Matt Van Essen, and they'll be out there for about 6 weeks or so. But I would appreciate prayer for my own life in the future. Without Elvin now, it's very different, and I'm just seeking the Lord's wisdom as to where I should spend my time and what I should be doing and so on now that my wife has passed on. And that's always not always easy to know, but I appreciate your prayers regarding that. And for wisdom, because as it says here, oh, the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Romans 11, 33-36. Now, some years ago, I heard this story. Charles Price, he's a teacher in Toronto with the People's Church. He was talking about a time that he was still back in Britain, and he was speaking to a group of young folks, and afterwards he found one girl at the front sitting crying. And he said, I'm not too good with girls who are crying, but he said, I went over and sat down near to her and said, can I help you? You have a problem? And he said, and they talked for some time, and he thought maybe she wanted to become a Christian. He says, do you want to trust the Lord? And she said, yes, no. And he said, pardon? She said, yes, no. And he sort of wasn't sure how to handle that, but he said, well, why would you say no? Well, she said, if I become a Christian, God might send me to Africa as a missionary. So that's why I don't want to become a Christian. Well, he tried to show her from the scriptures that when you come to the Lord, he takes care of all the problems, and he may or may not do those kind of things. So you can trust him that he knows best, and so eventually he got to the point where she's willing to trust the Lord. Interesting, he met her some years later. She got married by then, and she was on her way to, you know where, to Africa as a missionary. But sometimes, you know, we don't like leaving our comfort zone. We like sitting on the pews in the church, and we don't like leaving it. And there's a song I want to play for you here by Scott Wesley Brown. Some of you may know it. It's called Please Don't Send Me to Africa. Here we come. That's the sounds of the jungle.
Servant, you know that I have been for years. I'm here. every Sunday and Wednesday. I've stained it with many a tear. I've given you years of my service, and I've always given my best. And I've never asked you for anything much, so Lord, I deserve this request. Please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. I'm just a man, I'm not a Tarzan. Don't like lions, gorillas, or snakes. I'll serve you here in suburbia, in my comfortable middle-class life. Please don't send me out into the bush, where the natives are restless at night. I'll see that the money is gathered, and I'll see that the money is sent, and I'll wash and stack the communion cups. I'll tithe 11%. I'll volunteer for the nursery, and I'll go on the youth group retreat. I'll usher, I'll deacon, I'll go door to door. Just let me keep warming this seat. But please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. I'm just a man, I'm not a Tarzan. But like a lion, gorillas, or snakes, I'll serve you here in suburbia, in my comfortable middle class life. But please don't send me out into the bush, where the natives are restless at night. Please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. I'm just a man, I'm not a Tarzan. But like a lion, gorillas, or snakes, I'll serve you here in suburbia, in my comfortable middle class life. But please don't send me to the ends of the earth, where the natives are restless at night.
I've been asked sometimes, aren't you afraid out in Africa? And I've always answered in this way, that there's no safer place to be than the center of God's will. And I think you have probably more chance of being killed south of the border than you would in Zambia, in many places. It's something which the Lord shows you, that if you're in His hands, then He knows what's best. And don't be afraid. Don't be doing what that man did, asking, say, please don't send me to Africa. Just want to finish with this one thought, and then we're finished. And if you have any questions, you can see me afterwards. But the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 18, where it says, Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That was in one of the hymns we sang tonight, all authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, 2 points here. First of all, he says, all authority has been given unto me. Jesus has all the authority, all the power. And then at the end, he says, I am with you always. I'm always with you. So if He's always with us, that means His power is always with us. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to turn back and say, no, I can't do that. And then He says in the middle, go therefore. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, this doesn't apply just to Zambia. And there are other places too that the Lord sends people. Maybe it's the next door neighbor. Maybe it's some of the young people in your school that need to know the Lord. But we are to go, and we're not to be afraid, and we're not to be ashamed or shy of the gospel, but to speak for him. And it's something that we need to be challenged with. Here the Lord says he has all the authority, he has all the power. So we don't have to be powerless. We have the power in Christ. As Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's promised to be with us. And that's important. And I know there have been situations in my time out in Zambia where the Lord really did come through. I'll just close with this one thing, and I'm not trying to frighten you, but just to show you how the Lord helps. When I was first in Zambia, before I got married and so on, before I met my wife, I'd gone down to the capital to be with my sister over Christmas. And we'd been out to a youth gathering at the chapel, and we came back, and as I got out of the car, a fellow sort of appeared out of some bushes by the end of the parking lot with a gun saying, "Give me the keys." And I didn't like fighting with guns, so I gave him the keys. I was afraid, really. And I just started to move away quickly as I could from the vehicle. Let them have the car. I said, "Okay, take it. I'd rather live." But then as I looked back, I saw my sister being pushed into the back seat. And I'm not usually very courageous, but for some reason, the Lord gave me the courage to turn around and go back to face the gun, and they pushed me in beside my sister in the back seat. It was a small Volkswagen, a little bug, you know? Those old things, you don't see them much these days. Well, they had been, I think, from the Congo, from Zaire, or DR Congo, we call it today, and they had been drinking. You could smell the beer. They were driving rather recklessly, and at one point they went the wrong way on the roundabout, but then they started heading south down toward the south border, and they started playing with the steering wheel like this, and my sister kind of got a bit hysterical and began kind of screaming, and they did it more and lost control. The vehicle spun around, turned over upside down in the ditch. And the front window had popped out, and they climbed out the front window and took off into the bush. And I wasn't sure whether they were still around. I knew they had a gun, so I said to my sister, "Just pretend we're hurt." Well, we weren't hurt, thankfully. No broken bones, no scratches, nothing. Just a bit shaken up. But I just said, "Just pretend you're hurt." So we sort of went, "Oh, my leg," this sort of thing. And finally, I saw a white face coming. Many Zambians had come, but I didn't know whether they were the thieves or not, so I wasn't so sure I wanted to get out yet. But I saw this white face, and I thought, okay, that's a bit safer. And this fellow had stopped and had helped us, and we got into his vehicle. We left that upside-down vehicle in the ditch, just got the keys and the box with some Bibles and things, and headed back into the capital. And we had to go to the police and tell everything that happened, and eventually the vehicle was a write-off, so she had to get another vehicle. But, you know, the next morning, on the choice cleaning calendars, there was a verse that said, there was a verse to the Apostle Paul saying, "Paul, you've suffered from me in Jerusalem, but I still have a work for you, so don't give up." Because I was sort of thinking, do I really want to stay in Zambia? Maybe I'll just head back to Canada. I'm a bit safer. I don't feel so fearful there, you know. It's a bit more comfortable. But I'm thankful that I took heed to that verse and that, yes, I did have that problem in Lusaka once. Only that once. In all the 42 years, I never had it again. And the Lord has protected us, watched over us. He helped us to raise our three children out there, and they're all going on for the Lord now. And I thank God for it. I'm a blessed man, really. And I thank God for his help. And I want to challenge you young folks and older folks, too, that not just Zambia, but there's so many countries that need to hear the word of God. There's so many countries that need to have people go out to share the things of Christ. And there's so many opportunities, so many ways to go. I can tell you more about Zambia and the opportunities there if you're interested, but let that be a challenge to each heart. The Lord said he has all the authority, all the power. He's told us to go, and he said, "I will be with you to the end." Let's not forget that. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this evening for this time together of sharing something about your work in the country of Zambia. We thank you for the opportunity there and for the many who have come to know Christ through the schoolwork and the camp work and the various assemblies there. We do pray your blessing on that effort. And for the literature that goes out from EPI and Gospel Folio and other groups and the Gideons, we just thank you for these efforts and pray your blessing on each one. Pray for this assembly here in Charlottetown. Pray your blessing that you would challenge the young people to put you first in their lives and to seek to do your will day by day, to reach out to those around them and to others too, that they might consider the mission field and the opportunities there, and such a blessing when we do that. So remove the fears and the anxieties in each one, and even in the parents, because that can sometimes be a problem. And we pray that you would just encourage each one as we look to you. We give thanks now and ask your blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.